This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, here we go, here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world. Broadcasting from the tippy top of the world-famous Fox News headquarters in New York City, it is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who is not destroying the campus up at Columbia University. No, ma'am, pro-Hamas protesters are.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
Well, for some reason, the university is, by and large, letting them get away with it. Because they don't want to upset the kids. The inmates now officially running the asylums on several campuses around the country as we take to the airwaves today.
What the hell is the world coming to?
I don't have an honest answer, but I know how an adult, how a true leader would have handled it. And in this hour, we will hear from Ronald Reagan in this...
What the hell did you just say?
I don't have like a Ouija board or a time machine. I don't know that it deserved that reaction. I just meant I'm going to play you a little Reagan on how he handled protesters out at Cal Berkeley. Because to be honest, what's happening right now is absolutely positively a failure of leadership at the top.
I agree with that.
888-788-9910. Whether you agree or disagree, I am a conservative, but I'm not doing a conservative talk show. I'm doing an American talk show.
Freedom!
You can agree, you can disagree. It doesn't matter. We're just talking, man.
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are.
No, ma'am. On this show, be a Republican, be a Democrat, don't be a... Don't be a Columbia student, I think would be a good way to say, yeah.
I think he's got a point.
Idiots is where we find ourselves surrounded by, is what we find ourselves surrounded by as we take to the airwaves. So to get you up to speed, since we spoke last night, happy Tuesday. I'm in a great mood, a particularly good mood. As I got out of bed this morning, I found out Variety, the showbiz Bible. You know, like when Tom Cruise decides he's making another Mission Impossible? You know what you read about that? Variety.
That's true. That is true.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Harrison Ford, they're busting out some CGI. You're going to get Indiana Jones in the Temple of Zoom because he's too old to do the stunts. They do it virtually. You read about that in Variety.
That's true. That is true.
That's what I'm saying, okay? Somebody gets laid at an Oscars after party.
Hubba, hubba.
Okay, but the point is you'd read about that in Variety.
That's true. That is true.
So to see myself today getting a tremendous write-up about our TV show, Fox News Saturday Night, it's in Variety right now. It blew my mind. So, I mean, understand, they even mentioned in the article the fact that Fox found me when I was a cab driver and I've, you know, kind of taken a really long road to get where I am. But there's so much validation in this moment for the last 20 years of my life that I promise you, I am in an abnormally good mood, okay? An abnormally good mood, even for someone like myself who fancies himself as a force multiplier of positive energy. Today, I am particularly infused with that Holy Spirit. So when we have this conversation about the protesters, just understand, I'm bargaining with you in good faith. Okay, I'm not here talking to you about, you know, how to win an election for the Republicans or why the Democrats should replace Biden on the ticket. Okay, believe me, the Democrats don't need an additional reason to replace Biden on the ticket. I mean,
I'm Kamala Harris and I approve this message.
Okay, but understand, today's not about that. Today is about a greater good, as we say all the time on this program. There are things happening in college campuses, just the way there are things happening at the southern border, just the way there are things happening over in the Middle East that have ramifications for all of us here as Americans the same. Okay, you can talk to me about the election, but our day-to-day existence in this country is experiencing a precipitous decline in quality because of what we are tolerating as a society. I didn't say as Democrats, okay, because a lot of the unrest that you're watching on college campuses is an offshoot of what began in the summer of 2020 under President Trump.
This guy will say anything.
Believe me, Trump in an election year, as the BLM protesters were lighting cities on fire, was certainly condemning it and using language the media didn't like. But the fact remains, it went on because a lot of local jurisdictions allowed it to, because they didn't want the bad optics in an election year of roughing up some protesters who had taken the protest beyond the boundaries of the law. Okay, yes, you have a right to peacefully assemble. No, you don't have the right to burn down a police station. Yes, you can march. No, okay, you can't trample a Target. Although I will tell you, one of the funniest things I ever witnessed, not to make light of the carnage, but there was one of the networks showed a scene in the summer of 2020 where they had looted an entire Target, yet the one freezer was completely filled with cauliflower pizzas. It really was funny. Like, they had ransacked everything in the Target, everything in the Target. But even rioters eating for free saw the cauliflower pizza and they were like, I ain't eating that. Hell no, you can eat that. I'm leaving it in the freezer. I just thought it was funny as a food guy. But the fact remains, we tolerated things and abuses in the summer of 2020 that have been adopted as standard operating procedure. Okay, these people at the college schools are now calling for infittata. I've been playing you these clips for 2 weeks. They want to wipe Israel off the map. That is not protected speech, number one. But when you see students like they did last night at Columbia breaking into the Hamilton buildings, okay, destroying property, that's not a peaceful protest. Okay, but we allowed this to go on because leaders in both parties didn't want the bad optics. Hey, these people nobody likes will get on social media. Okay, if you look at the polling in this country, 80% of Americans stand with Israel when it comes to the conflict in the Middle East, which means what you're watching at college campuses is a tyranny of the minority, a minority of stupid people, people who think Hamas is somehow the good guys. They say they're anti-genocide. The only side of this conflict calling for genocide is Hamas.
He knows what he's talking about.
Okay, the only side that directly targeted unarmed men, women, and children, Hamas.
He knows what he's talking about.
Okay, but bigger than that is the only side in this conflict that shares the values of these protesters. Who are these protesters? Okay, they're pronoun police. They're LGBTQIA+ crusaders. Okay, they are people with Selma envy. They grew up in the most tolerant and inclusive society known to man. Okay, the most upward mobility for every race, no matter what you identify as in this day and age, black, white, Asian, Muslim, gay, straight, Mario, Luigi, Pokemon, Pikachu, no matter what you are, if you live in this country today, 2024, you are living in the most tolerant and inclusive society the world has ever known. But there are a lot of people out there that have, you know, branded themselves as some type of freedom fighters, some oppression conquerors. So they're waging war on like statues of people who died 200 years ago. Okay, and they're claiming that they're somehow protecting against an oppression that they themselves weren't even talking about 6 months ago. Was anyone, literally anyone, on a college campus talking about Gaza 6 months ago?
The answer would be no.
No. Okay, this conversation started when Hamas paraglided into Israel and killed 2,200 unarmed civilians. Parents in front of their kids in front of their parents, put babies in ovens. That's where the conversation started. But the people invested in identity politics are living the most reductive intellectual lifestyles you've ever seen. They look out at the skin color of the participants and go, oh, dark skin must be the victims, lighter skin must be the bad guys, ergo we're going to go camp out on the quad and we'll support Hamas.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
But the only thing stupider, dumber, if you will, okay, is the fact that we've placated this for as long as we have. Here is a Reagan clip. Okay, it's from 1969, long before he was the president, he was a governor of California. Okay, Ronald Reagan, to his credit, okay, in all of his travels, whether he was a GE spokesperson, whether he was a governor, whether he was a Democrat, whether he was a Republican, okay, he was a leader. He was a leader. He didn't read the room. He knew that his job was to lead the room. when agitators, when protesters, when terrorists figure out that the people in charge are reading the room. Hey, we're going to make our decision based on what's popular in the room. We don't want to upset people here. Once they see that weakness, okay, they're never going to respect authority again.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband because they're raping everybody out here.
Okay, what they've allowed to go on, it's tragic. It's comedic. It's a farce, okay, the idea that they're allowing these, because these are stupid people. Okay, yes, you have the right to peacefully assemble. No, you don't have the right to destroy campuses. Okay, yes, you have the right to be wrong, okay, as they are in taking the Hamas side of the conflict. But no, you don't have the right to shut down the Golden Gate Bridge or the Brooklyn Bridge or anything in between. Listen to this clip from Reagan, who is just shutting down the conversation around placating protesters and giving them the latitude to decide which laws they will and won't follow. Do you understand? When you send a message out to protesters, as they are at these campuses, all right, well, there's certain laws you don't agree with. Okay, so just, you know, I get it. We respect your views. Guys, they're calling for terrorism. They're calling for more dead soldiers. They're calling to more death for all the Zionists. And the university is negotiating with them right now. Negotiating. Hey, we heard your, you know, we heard your demands to kill all the Jews. I mean, that's a bridge too far for us. Can we meet you? Maybe we'll kill some of them. I mean, how do we make this go away? That's what's going on in this country.
We really are being laughed at and scoffed at throughout the world. They're not respecting our country the way they used to.
Whenever I see something historic that mirrors an experience we've had in this country previously, I always go back and see what the revered figures of those previous generations were saying. History is a great teacher if you allow it to be. Okay, the reason we didn't have cities and campuses completely overrun and ransacked to the extent that we are now is because we used to have leaders who wouldn't take it. Now, in the age of social media, everybody's so scared of being on the wrong side of a digital firing squad that they're letting these infantilized idiot children do whatever they want. Let me give you a little Reagan. This is clip 11.
Those people told you for days in advance that if the university sought to go ahead with that construction, they were going to physically destroy the university.
Now, why did you negotiate many times?
Negotiate? What is to negotiate? What is?
University is a public institution.
That's right. But the university,
its own community, and for the community of Berkeley that live around it.
All of it began the first time some of you who know better and are old enough to know better let young people think that they had the right to choose the laws they would obey as long as they were doing it in the name of social protest.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You don't hear it a lot, but when Reagan really goes straight because he's got like such a timber, man, there's such an authority to it. But what are the keywords that pop at me? Some of you who know better and are old enough to know better, you let young people think that they had the right to choose the laws they would obey as long as they were doing it in the name of social protest. This is the exact type of, it's almost like a form of hostage taking that they're engaged in the sense that they hold society hostage. You can't go to the airport, we've clogged it. You can't cross the bridge, we've clogged it. It's almost a hostage situation per se. Okay, because they are choosing which laws they will and won't follow based on the fact that they're branding this as social activism. Hey, we're the good people. We're protesting on behalf of oppression in Gaza, so we don't have to follow the law. And because that sort of position gets likes on social media, the people in charge go, oh, can't arrest these people. It's trendy. Not good. That's what went on in the summer of 2020. They're out there. I know we're in the middle of a COVID lockdown, and you can't go to work. You can't go to a funeral. If you got a loved one in the hospital, you can't visit them. Can't go to church. We'll lock you up. Don't go to the gym. Not going to the bar. Okay, but if you want to get out and say that the police are a bunch of white supremacists, 500,000 of you can march down Broadway, loot a Macy's, no big deal. That's what we did. We created this. We made this bed. Okay, that's what went on. We placated stupidity because it was trendy and we didn't want to be on the wrong side of the hashtag trend. That's not real leadership. And I'm telling you, it started under Trump in 2020. So don't think I'm giving either party a free pass, because it absolutely positively started under Republican leadership in the White House. It's gotten a lot worse under Democrats. Exponentially worse, because this is only happening at Democratic colleges around the country. Okay, and the president is uniquely situated to condemn this, but he can't because a great deal of his party supports it. Dearborn, Michigan, man. Okay, all of the uncommitted voters in that primary that could cost Biden a swing state are withstanding between these protests ending in the next half hour and them coming on for the rest of the summer. Okay, they don't want to outright condemn it. They don't want to outright enforce the laws that we have every right to enforce. OK, because that's what's going on in this day and age. And the truth is, a good leader right now will come along and start locking people up. If they resist, tear gas the shit out of them. I don't care. OK, rough them up if you're within the boundaries of the law to do so. I'm not calling for violence. But if people are violently destroying a campus, violently resisting arrest, you know, believe me, the police could clean up this country in a second if you allowed them to. They're well beyond capable. But instead of getting back law and order and making this a discussion about right and wrong, instead of placating a bunch of fat screaming children, the cops, doing the most necessary and important job in our society, are just getting called pigs and spit on by kids that, you know, people they could beat the snot out of in about 30 seconds. You know, so if you were a leader in this moment and you really wanted to get society under control, don't look towards the future. Look towards the past, when people like Reagan knew better than to take this.
And I'm out here in the real world, and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
It's the show that 9 out of 10 listeners voted the best host on radio.
I don't want to say that they were dumb, but they were dumb.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Wouldn't be right if we didn't talk about all these stupid kids without hearing from one of them. Here's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
AOC is a dope.
Clip one.
I think what we're seeing here is just a history. We have a history in this country of student activism and student protest. To see a university call police enforcement in on the very students that whose safety they are in charge of, I think is extremely alarming. And I think that we really need to make sure that we are allowing the nonviolent and peaceful demonstrations to have their legitimate space.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Fair question. Okay. The idea that calling in police on the students is extremely alarming. Guys, they're barricading Jews from entering the campus.
That can't be good.
Which is amazing. The people who said everyone who doesn't agree with me is a Nazi are now banning Jews from the campus. Okay? Do you understand, AOC?
You are so full of sh**.
Okay, yeah, we have a history of student protests. I support that history. Okay, but what we're now affording them are rights they don't have under the Constitution. You have a right to peacefully assemble. You don't have a right to block me from crossing a bridge. You don't have the right to block a Jewish kid from going to class. Okay, when campuses are suspending graduation or all classes for the rest of the semester because people aren't safe, we flat out admitted that these aren't peaceful protests. But AOC will continue to speak out on behalf of them because she's pro-Hamas like the rest of her party. What a jackass.
Out of the gates and ready to go.
Hey, it's Hutton Withrow. Hot Mike is here on the Outkick Network. We've got your afternoon covered with the latest sports discussion, and it's available wherever you find your audio.
Daily analysis and news. He is hot. I am Mike. Actually, my name is Chad. His name is Jonathan. But you get the picture. We're going to bring it every single day. Whatever you want to call us, we'll respond to. We just want you to respond to what we're dishing out every day.
And while you're here, we hope you subscribe to the podcast. Like, subscribe, and share.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Going to be wrapping today with Emily Campagno, Human Happy Hour, co-host of Outnumbered. She's, of course, a legal mastermind. She will weigh in on the Trump cases, which we will get to in the next hour. And we will give you a surprising piece of legal analysis from the judge in that case that will, I got to tell you, man, whew. You know the old adage about how the frog doesn't feel the water boiling till he's cooked? We got a lot of that going on in society right now. I'm looking around the pot every morning, look, you know, at the world. And
this could be a problem.
So we're trying to keep the mood light. Thankfully, people are starting to take notice. I opened the show today. If you haven't seen it, Variety, the Showbiz Bible, did a really good write-up about my Fox News Saturday night TV show, a show that is just back from the White House Correspondents' Dinner, where we had a triumphant two-hour evening on the red carpet. We have a movement on this show that's very unique in media, but it's also necessary. Like, I don't take myself seriously. If you're around me, I make fun of myself all the time. I dress like a figure skater who let himself go. But I take the mission of chilling the f*** out very seriously. That's what my radio show is. That's what my TV show is. Okay, yeah, we have differences of opinion. Okay, but this is not a call to arms. It's a call to chill the f*** out. That's what we're trying to do here.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Well, understand this. Okay, the protests that are going on right now, and I spend time on this. You might not live near one of these campuses. You might not care what's going on at one of these campuses. But this is a problem, a symptom of what began in 2020. Okay, people claiming they were out there on behalf of some type of a social justice reform were allowed to get away with whatever the hell they wanted because nobody wanted to look like they opposed their mission of goodwill. Okay, if you get out there, you say you're protesting for the black community. Hey, I support that. Of course I do. Okay, the only problem is Black Lives Matter was a fraud in the sense that the people running it took all the money. And did they spend any of it on improving the quality of life in the black community? No. They hired relatives and used the rest of the cash to buy large mansions. That's BLM. Buy large mansions. And everybody who was preyed upon for their white guilt after in the aftermath of watching the George Floyd video was like, I better donate to this just to show I'm a good person.
Pay up, suckers.
Okay, to this day, we don't know that a cop killed George Floyd because of the color of his skin. We don't know that. He wasn't charged for racism. He was charged for using excessive force. And we don't know if he's ever used that on people of other colors or backgrounds either. We don't know that. But based on the fact that people were there to profit off of this from both an electoral standpoint and a monetary standpoint, we went from having the entire country agree that Derek Chauvin was wrong to a point of widespread disagreement. You see, consensus is not valuable to the race pimps. Consensus is not valuable to the people who get rich off these fake social justice crusades. So after watching the George Floyd video and all of us being aghast at what we saw, okay, people on the left with an election to win went, whoa, 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 it was not Derek Chauvin that was kneeling on George Floyd's neck. It was all of America.
Democrats are so full of crap.
But a lot of people went with it. They were like, oh, well, it was all of America? Wait, it was me? It was my fault? Oh, man, I better give these people whatever the hell they want. We're systemically racist. The government's been racist forever, so we got to get rid of this Trump guy because he's been a part of this government the last 4 years. We got to replace him in this racist government with this Biden guy who's been a part of this racist government for the last 50 years.
You have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black.
But they didn't deliver any progress after all of that societal upheaval because they're stupid. Nobody listening to this show right now can call in with facts that show the police were racially targeting black Americans. There is no stat. You don't own it. You don't have it. That says police are killing unarmed black men at higher rates than unarmed white men. Okay, you have no stat to support that narrative, yet we burnt down cities, caused $10 billion worth of property damage, and killed 42 people along the way because the folks running things didn't want to be on the wrong side of a social justice initiative.
That's not right.
Okay, and that's what's going on at Columbia. So what we have at Columbia, just understand this. Okay. demonstrators storm Hamilton Hall on Columbia's campus, named after Alexander Hamilton. Okay, they break windows, they crash doors. Okay, to her credit, Mika Brzezinski, it's about the longest successive speech she's given without condemning Trump, at least had the good sense to acknowledge this looks a lot like January 6th. Now, of course, she's drawing the January 6th comparison as a way of reminding her audience that Republicans do this too. Okay, there's always a political gambit in here, but listen to this, clip 10.
That's the place we've all been sitting in watching this, going, what the hell is going on? What are these universities doing? Why aren't they doing something? And I'll echo the horror that this does look like January 6th. What a terrible example for our students.
You suck, you jackass.
It does look like January 6th. She's always this January 6th, you understand. It's like, it's their hot word. You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes people have a spot like, hey, man, blow on my ear. I don't know. Everybody's got a thing. I don't know the answer to that.
I love it when you talk dirty.
Okay, but if you were hooking up with a chick who works at MSNBC, you just go January 6th, and they're like, oh! I'm telling you. It's like their word. It's their hot word.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
No, no, but they love a good January 6th. You know, I always say if you're going to karaoke, you want to win over the whole room, you sing Love Shack. People like Love Shack because it's a big, crazy sing-along. There's not a lot to contribute. The Love Shack, people love it, okay? But if you were going to a Democratic sing-along, you just yell January 6th. I mean, the people, they love a January 6th. But stick with me, because that's Mika flat-out admitting, yes, it looked like January 6th. And it did. It's people breaking into buildings. I don't support January 6th. I was on the air when it happened. I was like, this is bad. But to my credit, I was condemning political violence before it became trendy. Understand, there's not a single solitary member of the mainstream media that was condemning the riots in the summer of 2020. They were telling us these were fiery, but mostly peaceful protests.
People aren't buying it, CNN, you dumb bastards.
But understand, I wasn't buying it. I was like, this is terrible. They attacked the White House. They lit a church on fire. They had to build an additional fence around the White House because of all of the Secret Service agents that were pelted with bricks and rocks, okay, by the George Floyd rioters. Okay, they lit police stations on fire in Minneapolis and Seattle. Police stations. Burnt courthouses in Portland. Started a pretend city called Chaz in Seattle. And we allowed all of this to happen because it was happening supposedly in the name of a good cause.
Wrong.
Okay, what has changed since the summer of 2020? What did the 42 deaths and $10 billion in property damage get us? Okay, we canceled Aunt Jemima, Mrs. Butterworth, and Uncle Ben, and there's no more Washington Redskins logo. And yeah, the Cleveland Indians are now embarrassingly the Cleveland Guardians. Okay, but did that improve anything in the quality of life for a single solitary black American?
The answer would be no.
Okay, these are stupid people. Protesting has become a branding exercise in this country where nobody even has a background on anything they're protesting. It's just trendy. Again, if this Gaza oppression is so bad, okay, we shouldn't have started talking about it 6 months ago. Okay, even Bill Maher, to his credit, spoke about that on his show. Okay, listen to this, clip 19.
Maybe from now on, before anyone commits an act of civil disobedience, they should ask themselves a few questions like, is the most important thing in my life something I hadn't heard of 6 months ago? Do I even know what the f- I'm talking about? Am I really here for the cause, or is the cause here to bring you me? Why do I care so much about this particular cause? North Korea starves its people. China puts them in concentration camps. Myanmar brutalizes the Rohingya. Boko Haram kidnaps whole villages of women. Nothing? Ukraine? Maybe if these Google employees had the slightest idea what kind of fundamentalist oppressive they're supporting, Hamas, the Houthis, Hezbollah, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, they might take it a little easier on the world's greatest monster, Genocide Joe. Genocide, by the way, is when you want to wipe out an entire people. That's the stated goal of Hamas. That's what From the River to the Sea means. Hamas would do that to Israel, but can't. Israel could do that to them, but doesn't.
I admire your honesty.
Okay, he's telling you the truth there. Okay, these people are idiots. They have no idea what they're talking about. They have no background on any of this. And as they're telling you that they're protesting a genocide, they're doing so in support of the people who are committing the genocide.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
Or at least trying to. So you understand, with all of that going on, okay, Columbia's statement they put out, okay, is that effective immediately, access to the campus has been limited to students residing in residential buildings. Nobody else can come on. It's not safe. There's no additional access to the campus. You can't go to class. It's not safe to have people on campus. It's not safe. Does that sound like a peaceful assembly? Okay, yes, you have speech rights under the First Amendment. No, you don't have a right to render a campus so unsafe that people can't be on it.
When you're right, you're right, and you're right.
I'm going to play the Reagan clip again. This is Reagan dealing with Berkeley protesters who are upset about construction and the environment and blah, blah, blah.
They're crazy.
They're just idiots. But protesting became a brand. People liked to get out there and say, oh, I'm on the right side of the Black Lives Matter or the climate. Or the Hamas, and it's like it's trendy. They, you know, look at me on social media, follow, click, like, I'm starting a protest blog. Okay, they're not in it for the cause, they're in it for the currency. They have no idea what they're talking about. Any of these people. I mean, you think of the fraud of protest in this country and activism, specifically social justice activism. Do you remember when Michelle Obama held up the famous Bring Back Our Girls sign?
Don't be thick, all right?
No, ma'am, we're going to do this. Bring back our girls, because Boko Haram kidnapped an entire village of girls. Michelle Obama posted a sign, bring back our girls, which, to be clear, we should be doing. Okay, the photo got about 100 million likes on social media. Okay, the photo was taken almost 10 years ago. Do we have our girls back yet?
The answer would be no.
Answer would be no. Do we have an article on bringing back our girls in the last 5 years?
The answer would be no.
Is anyone even looking for our girls?
The answer would be no.
No, but that was a trendy protest until it wasn't, so we just moved on. Guys, I'm telling you because I care, very few people do. Okay, social media has turned society into a branding exercise, and they think their way ahead is to brand themselves with the trendiest causes. Okay, I have accomplished every one of my life goals. I'm on a cover of Variety right now for my Saturday night TV show. I just got back from the White House. Okay, I have a community college education, no formal broadcast training. I am a slob. All I want to do is smoke cigars and listen to 80s music in my backyard. That's what I do. That's what I gravitate towards. When I give you these little messages, these little takes, okay, it's because I have a very unique perspective on society, having climbed to the top of a very unique perch in media. Okay, I am a cab driver by heart and nature. I don't come from a traditional media background. As you can tell, I have no formal broadcast training. These people don't care about anything. So the idea that we should be placating them because they've aligned themselves with some well-intended initiative is absurd. Again, bring back our girls. The most popular social media photo ever taken. We're not even looking for our girls. It stopped getting likes, so we moved on from the cause. Okay? Really think about that. It's trendy till it ain't. Okay? Defund the police. It's trendy. Then all of a sudden a brick got thrown through somebody's window, and who did they call? The cops. And suddenly it wasn't trendy anymore. What's going on with Hamas? Suddenly not trendy. I'm telling you because I care. Nobody does. There is a Malaysian plane with 300 people on it. It was the biggest news story in the world till we just stopped caring because trendier things happened. To this day, has anyone found the plane?
The answer would be no.
No. Once every year and a half, somebody's like, oh, I was fishing and I think I found a wing. And that's it. We move on. We don't care. We have no collective attentions, man. So the idea that we should be held hostage by people who care even less than we do is the height of absurdity, which is why you hear the Reagan clip again. This is 1969 when leaders had balls. Clip 11.
Those people told you for days in advance that if the university sought to go ahead with that construction, they were going to physically destroy the university.
Now, why did you negotiate many times?
Negotiate? What is to negotiate? What is?
University is a public institution.
That's right. But the university,
its own community, and for the community of Berkeley that live around it.
All of it began the first time some of you who know better and are old enough to know better let young people think that they had the right to choose the laws they would obey as long as they were doing it in the name of social protest.
And that's exactly what happened here. People who are old enough to know better. Why is that significant? Old enough to know better. Because these are stupid kids. When you're 18, you're 19, you're 20, you don't know what you're doing. Your head's completely up your ass. You have no idea. No idea. Yes, you have speech rights. You don't have overthrow society rights based on you being stupid and having the energy to act on every dumb idea you have. And understand, there was a time when we agreed. These people were young. They didn't know any better. And we didn't have to tolerate the excess that came with their protest. But imagine, in a world where we now pretend five-year-olds have a right to make a permanent surgical alteration to their body, while simultaneously having the discussion that 20-year-olds don't know any better yet, so we've got to forgive them for burning down the campus. Do you realize when there's a double standard, there's no standard? And that's why the country is as screwed up as it is. It's again and again and again. Comes back to people not having the balls to do the right thing.
You are correct, sir.
The show that leaves you without hope or change.
I'm telling you, man, this stuff will poison your mind.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Just texting with our boy Diamond Dave Landau. Diamond Dave is on Fox News Saturday night this weekend. Aaron Berg is on. Bridget Fantasi. Katie Pavlich. Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid, Innerspace. The right stuff. The Parent Trap. Me and Quaid are going to go one-on-one because he is playing Reagan in an upcoming movie.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
I'm telling you, there's so many angles you could dissect this from. How does this affect the election? Blah, blah, blah. I do a show that's very about the moment we're living in. I don't have the luxury of looking down the road 5 months. I'm concerned with whether or not you have a good day today, okay? Because we're all in the happiness business. If you die tomorrow, you're going to wish you had more fun today. So if there are things as a society that are dragging us down collectively, those should be our priorities. Okay, that's what they are. It's like inflation, when you go to the cash register, if it's 23% more for groceries, that doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. It just sucks. Okay, if the border's overrun and you can't do recreational drugs anymore because one pill will kill you, that's bad. Okay, I'm not even doing recreational drugs, which sounds crazy given the quality of my broadcasts.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
No, ma'am. I run a pretty clean train. I'm Sister Rosetta Tharpe, if you get the reference. But in the next hour, Emily Campagno will be stopping by, and we're going to get a hot visit. Jamie Lissow is supposed to be here as well, one of the Gutfeld comics. Every once in a while, we lower the bar, let those guys on. And, of course, your calls, text, tweets, carrier pigeons, welcome as well when we come back in a big hour of Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Jimmy, back in action. Big hour of Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla. We're going to be talking with Emily Campagno, Human Happy Hour, outnumbered co-host, legal mastermind, gets us up to speed on the Trump trial at the end of the hour, is going to dish us a piece of legal analysis from the judge that you won't hear anywhere else. We get good intel because we have reporters down in the courthouse, and there is a story that's going to break about an hour from now that you will find fascinating. I can't talk about it yet, but I'm sure gonna. And at the end of the day, in the final hour of the show today, another piece of inside information from my recent visit to the White House, and I will hand you a fun fact about the big write-up about my TV show. It is in Variety right now. If you check out Variety, the showbiz Bible, they have a write-up on Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Failla. Pretty rad for a dirtbag like me. Went to community college. I'm a grown man who plays video games. That's what I do, okay? I got home last night and played MLB The Show with Lincoln till about 2 in the morning because I have to carry our team to the playoffs.
Shut your mouth.
Whatever. That's what we did. And with any luck, that's what we'll be doing again tonight. But 888-788-9910 if you want to join me in the meantime as we move on. We've got a couple of spinning plates today. We've been covering these pro-Hamas protests. I will wrap up that conversation and move forward because we got to get to the Trump trial with Emily. But this might be the dumbest piece of analysis I've heard all day, and it comes from the fine folks at The View.
The View is awful.
Okay, this is Sonny Hostin. I saw her on the red carpet at the correspondence dinner, and I genuinely would have talked to her live on the air Saturday night if I got a chance.
Come on, don't bullshit me.
No, ma'am. I talked to everybody on that show. I had NBC on. I had Lester Holt on. I had Savannah Guthrie. I had Al Roker. I had John Fetterman on. I had the cast of The Daily Show on. I had rappers on like Jermaine Dupri. I had anybody on. Because, again, I don't show up as the Republican Party. I am the keg party. That's what I represent. I am a chance for society to stop fighting and be cool for like 30 seconds.
Oh, you're right. And when you're right, you're right. And you're always right.
And I think Sonny Hostin is like weapons grade stupid. And here she is kind of validating my take. This is clip 13.
I think these are anti-war protests. And I think it's very distressing that we are framing these as pro-Palestinian protests or pro-Israeli protests.
No one's framing them that way.
It has never been in my life, in my career, the criticizing policies of government is equated with anti-Semitism. And that, I think, is a far right, comes from the far right. It comes from the authoritarian leanings where they don't want students on these campuses to voice their opinions because they want to change the narrative going forward.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Sonny Hostin, straight up. That's serious. Like, she didn't like laugh after that. There wasn't like an applause break of like, good performance. You know, you're obviously kidding. Okay, these kids are on campus calling for the death to all Jews. And she says they're being framed as anti-Semitic by the far right.
You can't handle the truth.
You know, time was you could go on a campus and say, blow Israel off the map, and nobody gave you a hard time. Now all of a sudden it's anti-Semitic to want to kill all the Jews. You believe these right-wing people? That's what they're doing on The View. Okay, he's hard right with authoritarian leanings, where they don't want students on these campuses to voice their opinions. Yo, Sonny, the students are denying Jews access to the campus. That narrative is not coming from the far right. That narrative is coming from the campus entrance, where they have locked arms to deny them a right to attend class, where they're calling for another infitada. Okay? Intifada, I mangle my jihad calls, and I apologize. Time was you'd get a good jihad call out of a syndicated talk show host. I apologize for the hurt I've caused, and I will do better to educate myself. Good God. Look at this. This is crazy. Okay, but the craziest part of the whole thing is they say they're calling for a ceasefire, okay, because Israel's committing a genocide, even though Hamas is vowing to eliminate every single living Jew on the planet. It's Israel that's pro-genocide in their worldview because these are stupid people. But here is Antony Blinken, another guy I met at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. He's over at the World Economic Forum now, saying the only thing standing in the way of a ceasefire is Hamas. Okay, a ceasefire offer has been on the table. They want their hostages back, something none of the pro-Palestinian protesters are telling you, is they hold 130 Jewish and American hostages. Women, babies, children. Does Israel hold any of those hostages? No, they're all with Hamas. Okay? Yet again, these people on campus are like, you got to hear Hamas's side of this, though. No, there's no side. If you're holding children hostage, there is no side.
That's true. That is true.
But here is Blinken telling you the truth. There's a very generous ceasefire offer on the table. Hamas isn't going to take it because they don't want a two-state solution. They don't want any of that. They just want Israel blown off the map. They hate Jewish people. It's religious. It's a thing. Okay, you understand we all the people calling for a ceasefire, again, conveniently omit the fact that we were in a ceasefire. We were in a ceasefire on October 7th when they paraglided into Israel and killed every civilian in sight. That's how they behave during a ceasefire. The reason we're offering another one, okay, and they're not accepting it, is because they don't want a ceasefire. So you understand, you're out there protesting on behalf of people who don't support what you're protesting for. Imagine that. Okay, if you were outside my house protesting to get me more vegan hamburgers, we're not going away till Jimmy gets more vegan hamburgers, I would look out the window like, you know,
get him out of here. Get him out.
Because I'm not interested in that. You dig? Hamas not interested in a ceasefire. Okay, but we're barricading society, holding it hostage. Here is Blinken telling you the truth, clip 14.
Hamas has before it a proposal that is extraordinarily, extraordinarily generous on the part of Israel. And in this moment, the only thing standing between the people of Gaza and a ceasefire is Hamas. They have to decide, and they have to decide quickly. So we're looking to that, and I'm hopeful that they will make the right decision.
Are they going to make the right decision, Hamas? No chance, because they're not interested in it. Okay, so we continue to fund these universities. Okay, here's Nicole Malliotakis on Capitol Hill. She's introducing a bill to strip federal funds from universities that allow anti-Semitic activities. Okay, agree or disagree. One thing we all have to acknowledge is you can't do this with any other group of people. If they were barricading themselves onto campus saying, kill all the gays, kill all the blacks, kill all the trans, okay, the National Guard would have been in there to lock up every one of them, dump every single Google search on their computers and their phones, and arrest everyone they had ever text messaged in the last 3 years. That's what they did with January 6th. And I'm not saying they shouldn't have gone after people who broke the law. I'm just telling you in this instance, the people breaking the law aren't being gone after, because there is absolutely a double standard when it comes to the Jewish community. There just is. There's a reality. And I was naive to just how bad it was. But understand, the reason they are pro-Hamas is because Hamas has created a moral equivalence between what they do and what Israel does, something Bill Clinton correctly called out while he was still allowed to call it out. Okay, you can't do this in the Democratic Party. Here's Clinton in 2016 explaining how Hamas sets the other side up to look bad.
Hamas is really smart. When they decide to rocket Israel, they insinuate themselves in the hospitals, in the schools, in the highly populous areas. And they are smart. So they try to put the Israelis in a position of either not defending themselves or killing innocents. They're good at it. They're smart. They've been doing this a long time.
So you think about that. They're good at it. They're smart. They've been doing this a long time. Okay, they want their civilians killed. It's horrific. Okay, but it allows them to paint a picture to intellectually lazy people whose emotions are their facts, who see skin color as a branding exercise. Well, I'm protesting on behalf of the right skin color. There's no such thing. Do you understand? There's no such thing. Good people belong to every race. Bad people belong to every race. Smart people, stupid people, and everything in between. There is nothing, nothing exclusive to any one race. So when you reduce every interaction in society to that of skin color, okay, all of the nuance, all of, you know, the intangibles that might actually dictate an outcome get thrown out the window in the name of this gross oversimplification of existence. And the people that are on that side of the thought process are the ones holding the rest of us hostage. Okay, when Sonny Hostin says, this is being framed as anti-Semitism, just because they're chanting kill the Jews doesn't mean they're anti-Semitic. You know, sometimes you do that as a supportive gesture, right? I mean, what are we talking about here? And a lot of this, again, starts in the home. This is bad parenting. Okay, I tell you, the greatest thing my parents ever did for me was beat me. Oh, God. Didn't like it at the time, but you respected authority. You lived a life of consequence and accountability. I'm not calling for violence against your kids. You know, you spank them here and there, though. It was helpful. Because we learn to fear authority. Okay, when you see these rich white kids in COVID masks, lifting up a COVID mask so they can spit on a cop, okay, there was a time in this country where everybody in every party would have let the cop kick that kid's ass and not pulled out a cell phone to actually just record it to get the cop fired from his job. Now, the cop would get fired for doing what we all know is right. If you want to be safer as a society, the cops need to have their rightful authority.
Look, if you hate cops just because they're cops, the next time you get in trouble, call a crackhead.
But none of them call crackheads, okay? Vera is in Henderson, Tennessee. Vera!
Hello.
Hey, girl.
Listen, you just hit right on what I was calling about.
Give it to me.
I think what's failing our young people today is their parents.
Yep.
their parents do not have respect anymore.
Mm-mm.
And so therefore, they're not teaching their children respect. When I was young, I was taught to respect my elders, respect things.
Mm-hmm.
I was taught to love everybody. It didn't matter their color, mm-hmm. their religion. You loved everybody. I was taught the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And also, I knew by the time that I was a little bit older, if I got that look, the next thing was going to be a spanking.
No, it's so true. We all know that look. My dad had a whistle. And it was like, and you knew whatever the heck was going on needed to end immediately. And
yes,
and that was good for us because it gave us like a moral compass. When you left the house, you knew how to behave. You knew what to avoid. They really don't have that. And
no.
And it's apparent when you watch this sort of thing. So if anyone who's listening to Vera, that's a parent. If you haven't stepped up your parenting game, you have to. Because what happens now, Vera, is the kids throw a fit and we reward the fit. We go, oh, what did we do wrong? Isn't that crazy?
How many times are you in a store? You see a kid scream no at their parents, throw a fit, and what does the parent do? Buy the toy.
Yep.
Do you know what would have happened if I had done that in a store? They would shirt me up and wore me out right there in the middle of that store.
Yeah, well, at the very least, you would have gotten beaten by the toy.
Yeah, exactly.
You wouldn't have taken home the toy, but you would have taken home a bruise from the toy.
Exactly.
Vera, thank you for spitting some words of wisdom. We got to hang next time I'm down in Tennessee.
Yes, let's do it.
All right, I miss you already, girlfriend. Have a big day. There she goes. There we go. Back after this.
The critics have spoken.
It's a mess. It's a mess.
This is Fox Across America.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. You saw her on the red carpet with me Saturday night at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. We took till Tuesday to get her back on. She needed to sober up, which is not true. You were the most presentable Fox person on that carpet, although she's billed as the human happy hour. That was a sober compagno. I'm actually disappointed, but it's good to see you.
Dude, it wasn't.
Really?
Yes. That everyone needs to understand my superpower. My superpower is that I can down a bottle of anything and you think I'm dead sober because I am dead. Like, I act dead sober. I went back and watched our hits. The first one with Tim Kennedy and Sandra Smith was amazing. That was perfect in every way. But then I thought we were cleared. So I went back and finished the bottle of Vood. So for the second one, when we were covering Joe Biden's speech and I was talking about the Undertaker's daughter, that was after I'd had a few Jimmy Fallon. But
oh.
Yes. You could never tell.
No.
I know weird things come out of my mouth all the time anyway, but yep. I was like, ooh, next time.
In the words of Rod Stewart, you wear it well. You wear it well. Because I can't tell you that everybody I ran into that night wore it as well as you did. That's all I will say. I am not here to name names. But man, wasn't it so wild for the two of us to just be sitting there staring at the president carrying the channel? I mean, it's bananas.
It was the best moment of my life. It was so fun to be there with you shoulder to shoulder. And I shouldn't even say that, everyone. Everyone needs to understand this is Jimmy's show, Jimmy's ride, and I'm just in shotgun for it for parts of time. Right before I came on air just now, everyone, I was looking at Variety, where Jimmy Fallon is on the cover of Variety. Variety.com has an incredible, like, at-length article about him. He's a star, man.
Damn.
So, yeah, you were on the red carpet. You were dominating and leading Fox News coverage of the White House Correspondents Association dinner, covering Joe Biden's speech and so much more. And I was there proudly just supporting you, man, for a few minutes.
But
it was awesome.
No, you stop it, though, because you are like my ride or die homie, and you know that. So if I'm winning, we're winning. That matters. We have this fight all the time. But the brand that we are capitalizing on is a brand you and I, the day we met, we're like, this is what should be done in cable news. We should have cool people that are cool with other cool people, and they don't have to agree on anything. And we don't agree on anything. We don't even like each other. But we hang out, and we do good work. And that's the point. So this Bud is for you. Although I can't say this Bud's for you anymore, right? Are we back to Budweiser? Can we drink Bud again? I can.
I don't
care.
Griff ordered Vuv at the table. That's why I had Vuv in my hand. So this Vuv's for you. I'll gladly take it. And then the next day, everyone, you know where I went, as Jimmy was home by like 10 a.m., as he should be with his family smoking a cigar in the back deck with Bixby, I was at Pickle Fest.
Did you go to Pickle Fest?
And the funniest thing is I wore this neon, picture a bright fluorescent neon green dress, head to toe, like a floor length dress, like a summer dress. But I had no idea it was Pickle Fest. So everyone was calling me Queen Pickle because I was running around in this. I couldn't have planned it better. I was in a Northern Virginia brewery and winery, clearly at home amongst my people, celebrating Pickle Fest, man. Yep. So I went from you and Joe Biden to pickles, and it was the best day of all time.
What an upgrade.
Best weekend of all time.
That was an outrageous weekend, and you'd be so proud of me. So I, after hosting those 2 hours of coverage with you, we all went our separate ways at the end of the night. We slept 3 hours, got in the Bronco. I made my two producers get in the Bronco, and we were home in 3 hours. So I literally went out to breakfast with Lincoln and Jenny in New York Sunday morning by like 10 a.m.
That makes me so happy. Then, me and my other half were talking about that because I was saying how you were home with them. And I was like, I love the poetry of how Jimmy Fallon is on top of the world. You do so much for this network. It is such a colossal lift what you do, and yet you are home with your family for every minute that it counts.
Well, yeah, because that's where I can get bombed. It has nothing to do with them.
That's where Jenny's the sober driver, she takes over.
I'm in Variety. I can't be drunk in public anymore. I got to go home to my family.
I'll carry that flag for you, and you carry the family flag for us.
The great Emily Campagno. Quick break. We are back after this.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. Yo, you cannot believe the level of hate, like bile, like language I wouldn't use in a prison, because I posted a video of myself and Karine Jean-Pierre at the correspondence dinner. Emily Campagno's here. She's an adult in the room. We're not going to spend a ton of time on this. But people, if you're in my Twitter feed right now, responding to that video, you just might not get the whole point of being me, which is I am not a source of division. I don't want you to hate the people running the country. I want you to recognize that we're all teammates, and you might like their views, but as the country goes, we all go. Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, we're all on the same side. Okay, if there's a war tomorrow, we're all on the same side. I mean, with the exception of the people at, like, Columbia. But the rest of us are kind of rooting for America. And I got to tell you, my Twitter comments are gross. I have to respond to this. Emily, what is going on with the youth of America? Are we so politically divided that the idea of taking a picture with the other side is now considered like, I'm not your friend anymore? It's a sign to me that there's just too much anger in our politics, left or right.
Well, guys, I have a great story about my language in prison. Ooh. Since Jimmy brought it up. So I used to go to prison all the time. I mean, let me back up. In my role as an attorney, I've spent hours in prisons and in jails, both during normal visiting hours and also as an aside privately with clients, right? So picture me one of these times in a huge cafeteria-like room with everyone, whatever. I'm trying to get the microwave to work. I'm microwaving some popcorn. Apparently, it's not working. And I say, this is what was reported to me later, and I say, F this S. Well, there is families and kids around. And so the inmate that I had been meeting with told me later that the child of another inmate went up to him, who was her dad, and goes, Dad, what does F this S mean? And I was like, that's right. That's right. That's where you learn how to swear, is in the visiting room of prisons, not by the inmates, but by the attorneys that are there. So you are right, Jimmy. That is where that language should be reserved for. But those poor inmates were subjected to my foul mouth. And I apologize deeply to that poor little girl who overheard me swearing at the microwave that wouldn't work. And I'm sorry for everyone that is putting vitriol out there. But just a reminder that 80% of Twitter content is put forth by 10% of the users.
Oh, yeah, losers.
And while I have a Twitter account, it's inactive. I don't tweet. I don't go on it. It's a toxic cesspool. Mm-hmm. I find most of social media to be the same. And that's why I'm sort of intent. And those of you guys who follow me on Instagram know that I'm sort of intent on maintaining a positive environment, an authentic environment. We weed out those kind of people because that's not, you know, in this world, it's sort of harder to find a positive place. It's harder to find a place where there actually is thoughtful or respectful discourse or conversation. So, like, let's protect it, you know?
Yeah.
It's so easy to otherwise be bombarded by the opposite.
It is amazing. Emily Campagna's in studio. We're laughing at my Twitter feed. If you don't follow me on Twitter at Jimmy Fallon, I would say the comments trashing me for meeting KJP are about 100 to 1.
You guys, what do you think Jimmy's gonna? What do you expect Jimmy to do? You want to punch her in the face? All of you who are tweeting right now,
if that was me, I would have got arrested.
I know.
For
what do you expect him to do? Get out of here.
Who cares? I'm just leave him alone.
Leave Jimmy alone.
No, you stop.
Someone tweet me right now.
No, bring it on.
Yeah,
you don't scare me. What are you talking?
Somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
No, I don't care.
Leave Jimmy alone.
You're an awesome comedian, but you make me puke.
Oh, my gosh. I can't.
Here's a good one. Damn, Sir Jimmy, I'm embarrassed how easy my own conservative party gets triggered. Keep your friend close, but keep your enemy closer. Hello, holy cow, fellow conservatives. Take a deep breath and stop sounding like Democrats. Being friendly is now considered a sin. Sorry, Jimmy. But there's a lot of that. What a fun moment. Good for both of you. But there's also, love you, Jimmy, but nah, bad luck. In the immortal words of Christy Noem, what were you thinking? Really funny. This is a good segment for my show this weekend.
Totally.
Yeah. Mean, that's a segment.
Mean to, I don't know. I need a better title than. Yeah.
No, whatever. We know what to do with it.
You're the creative genius. You think of the title.
You stop it. Show segment around KJP. We'll do this on Saturday night.
Be nice to Jimmy, please.
No, you don't have to. It's okay. But listen, you'll never be as harsh as the voices in my head.
Or mine. That's the thing. I'm like your sister. So only I get to beat you up, everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like my sister's with me, right?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
The thick skin I have is from them.
Uh-huh.
But if someone else does something, they get a snowball to the face.
Isn't it? It's so funny, though. But people, it really does show you, like, how much anger there is when it comes to politics, which is, like, why we're doing what we're doing. Like, when we get on the air, is we don't want to, like, feed into that. Because
it's a luxury.
Yeah.
It is a luxury for anyone who gets to exist in a way where there's no diversity of thought, and you can just say anything that you want and everyone around you agrees with you.
Yeah.
So whoever's in that manufactured environment, enjoy it, because the rest of us actually are exposed to diversity of thought and diversity of politics. Now, I may not agree with the other party's politics. You hear it all day, every day from my mouth.
Yeah.
But you think I'm going to be a jerk? You think I'm going to punch someone in the face if they walk up to me? Or do you think I'm going to represent the grace of the GOP and the grace of a Christian in that to their face, I actually am kind.
Yeah.
What are they exactly asking for you from that moment? I mean, that's the thing. They can spit out that trash from their keyboards, but the reality is, I would expect nothing less from you than bridging the gap. That's what all your shows are about.
That's what we do.
Being human above political party.
Thank you. But there's a lot of angry people on Twitter. So a lot of people with no profile picture are mad at me right now.
I mean,
that's a lot of people.
Everyone knows I'm filled with rage, but I don't go on. Not about that, though. That's the thing. That's what I don't understand.
Well, that's what happened. At first, I was reading these comments, and I thought they were texts from you. And I was like, what is going on in my
feed? How did Emily get into my Twitter?
Yeah, what is even going on? But, you know, when you look out at the world right now, it's like the dumbest thing is, like, everything we're fighting over in politics right now, 2024, we were fighting over 20 years ago. What's changed is social media. We now fight about the same issues differently. And everybody now fashions political disagreement as, like, an actual war, where, like, the other side is, like, an enemy. But the other side wasn't considered an enemy, like when we fought over the border 20 years ago, or we fought over the Second Amendment 30 years ago. They were just considered people who saw it differently, you know? And it's like, for whatever this limited window of relevance is that I have, like, I just want to be able to look back on it and know that I tried to do something good with it. Because either way you slice it, this ends with me in a McMansion. If I get thrown out of here tomorrow, I go buy some new build next to, like, a Lowe's, and Jenny makes stuff for the backyard, and I get fat and drunk, and I'm happy, you know? Or if somehow I'm lucky enough to stick around another 30 years, I go get fat and drunk, and I'm happy. It's all the same, you know, because of the things I want out of life. I kind of have them. So in that regard, we're trying to use this as, like, an instrument of good, and you're so great for that. Like, what we say, you look, oh, you're the human happy hour, because that's the whole vibe of that we're trying to cultivate. And I just think it's so gross, because so many people have gotten, you know, almost like invested in their anger. Like, their anger is part of their brand now, and I just can't imagine wanting to be that. Like, I don't want to be mad in traffic, let alone mad while I'm, like, scrolling my phone for entertainment. Like, and I know you get fiery about stuff like I do, But I just think we've turned politics into a gross lifestyle. And if I can change it for like three people, I'll take the win.
You know, I feel social media has been the death of civilization. Yep. And I think for a few different reasons. Among them, the magnification of the extremist positions that you just articulated. Like the reason that we didn't view other sides or opposing viewpoints as the enemy 20, 30 years ago is because there wasn't a magnification of the tiny portion that was so angry, or the tiny portion of the population that had views that were, you know, sort of threatening, right? Mm-hmm. Like the reality was the majority of Americans and are to this day moderate, but we always talk about this, that there's been like an overrepresentation of the very tiny minority. So back then we didn't have that. We were exposed to that. People screaming over their fence were contained to their own yard.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we have those people screaming, representing very toxic viewpoints at both ends of the spectrum. They're given the loudest amplifier of them all. So that's one way that, to your point, social media has created this toxic environment, in addition to the disconnect and everything else about it. Because I agree with you. You want to find me for the rest of my life? I'm in my own yard.
Yeah.
Every day for the rest of my life, that would be my bliss.
Oh,
alone.
Great.
Not alone, but like, you know, private, away from everything.
Uh-huh. Like, no, it's Emily.
Alone, drooling in the corner. I don't mean it that way, but like the piece of that, right? That's so far away from technology. And people touted it in the beginning as, remember, accessibility.
Yep.
That how great the access. Yeah. But the reality is what we discovered is that the access is what became the ruin.
Yeah, it's ruining everybody. Emily Campagna's in studio. And that's the reason everybody is so divided, is that the division is rewarded. Like, if you take a picture with KJP and you're like, yeah, I had a nice time, there's more people that will score points from saying, how dare you, you rhino scumbag, than there is from just liking the photo, because they want the negative take. That's what social media gravitates towards. So we're incentivizing conflict. It's not a platform for coexistence. And that's the part I think is gross. So I find all of this funny. And I think, you know, it's a further reminder that what we're doing is correct. I don't rethink it and go like, oh, I got to take down the post. I'm going to retweet the post, you know, because this is the brand. The brand is not, I want the angry people who can't coexist. What do we say all the time? Comedy is not a political party. Comedy is just a party. Mm. When you're throwing a keg party growing up in the Bay Area, did you ever ask people who they voted for at the door?
Can you
think of anything more loathsome? I mean, think about that. But that's the world we're living in now.
That's
gross.
Kids now. You're so right.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I learned in social media, is that you can never predict who will be the subject of your ire.
Yeah.
So you might post a photo that you took with someone thinking that it's, quote, safe. But there will always be a faction. Like, I learned also that hard way, like, oh, I guess this person has been excommunicated. Didn't realize that.
Yeah.
You know, no one really
it's
is
like a
safe.
Zombie movie.
Right, exactly. And so the whole point is, you just have to live your own authentic life and model, which you are, living above the fray. Modeling that people are humans.
Yep.
And unless they are a vile creature, you're not going to post a video with you and Weinstein. You're not going to post a photo with you and, you know.
Yeah. KJP's just a gal in over her head at the White House podium. I mean, you know, I didn't say I'd hire her to run a lemonade stand with my son, but, you know, she's still a nice girl. I genuinely enjoyed talking to her. And to her credit, because I saw her Friday night at a party, when I saw her Saturday on the red carpet, she was still friendly. And I can't say the same for every press secretary, you know, because 2 years ago we saw Saki on Friday night. She was like, hey, what it is? Saturday, when the cameras were on, she was like, don't you dare look at me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She went into pro wrestling mode. But to her credit, KJP was friendly in both situations. And I just want to know the friendly people. Dude, I had NBC on. I mean, that's who I am.
Yeah,
I
you did. Guys, he had on Lester Holt, Savannah Guthrie, KJP.
Oh, all of them. But the point is, and people listening to the radio don't need to, I mean, they know this already, okay?
Fine.
I don't seek the approval of people who want you to be a distillery for hate. Like,
right.
You're beyond, you know, redemption, and you need to work on yourself, not me. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm going to go home and do the same thing tonight. You know, I'm going to play video games with Lincoln, and I'm going to smoke a 64 Padron. That's what I'm going to smoke.
That's my favorite.
That's the best.
That's my favorite.
I'm going to smoke a 64 Padron.
23 is when I'm feeling like I can, like, deal with the sort of the lightheadedness that accompanies it, but 64 is my favorite,
You smoke a cigar in the backyard, I'll blast some music, and you don't care.
I will not be... That sounds amazing. That's what I need right now, man. I need a day where I just do that.
Well, we'll work on it. But you, in the meantime, listening out there in the radiosphere, whatever you're consumed by on this given day, you do have the opportunity to find your rendition of a 64 Padron. Now, for all I know, you know, you could be cooking meth. It could be a Garcia Vega. I don't know what you're going to do. But the point is, you live in America.
Freedom!
And one of those freedoms means you can choose to have a good time. I had a good time. I know we only booked you for one break. We kept you for two because this is how it works around here.
I just start squatting, guys. I'm taking the...
Yeah. You can invoice Mikey for the extra segment. It's the right thing to do. But rock and roll. And by the way, happy 10-year anniversary to Outnumbered. I was watching the clips before. I saw a very...
Oh, your video was so cute.
I know, but it was like a chubby Jimmy. Like, there was definitely... No, it was. It was 30 pounds ago. I was clean shaven. The worst thing about working in TV is when you're walking past a monitor and you go, who is that fat slut? Oh, my God! And it's yourself.
I didn't even know. I literally didn't even... I don't know what you're even talking about.
I know,
it
but
was
I am like an old Italian grandmother. I noticed weight on everybody, like when I see them. My grandma Faye used to do that. You'd walk into a room and she'd be like, you got fat. And you'd be like, hi, grandma. We're going to go to break. I'm kidding. You look great, Em. You look great.
I'm going to beat it out of you in a
second. Look fantastic, Em.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life.
I know, we love her. Back after this.
The show that's standing up to big tech.
Get those nerds!
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 You're listening to Fox Across America.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Still rapping with the human happy hour, Emily Campagna. Trying to hold this country together, one radio hit at a time. Although one radio hit has now become three radio hits.
I just haven't left.
The third sec, yeah. You know, we joke about the whole stray cat thing. You can't get her to go away. She's just like, she set up a tent like a Columbia protester. She's just in my studio now.
And weirdly, no one even offered me a beer or a burger yet. But I'm still just not leaving. I'm just, I think because this couch is really comfortable and these pillows and it's just like nice. You know, we're just hanging with your best friend.
Yeah.
Dude, we haven't talked yet about the cab ride. That was so awesome.
Oh my God.
Jimmy drove me around New York City and we filmed the whole thing. And then he's going to be showing clips on Fox News Saturday night, which is so awesome. I cannot wait to see. And it was just like hilarious. To me it was.
Us cruising in the checker cab. You know, if riding the checker cab is like the closest you'll ever come to being a member of the Flintstones, there's no brakes. Like, you stop with your feet. But it was rad, wasn't it?
Like, no power steering. It's like the checker cab from Scrooged.
Yes.
The ghost from Christmas Past, which I kept referencing, which is like totally awesome, super old school. But the best part is it smells good.
Yeah, I bet.
So it doesn't smell the way it looks.
It's not like a taxi.
You think it's ashtrays and the inside stuff. Yeah, but it's like, it's awesome.
No, it was good. It was actually a really good hang. All of that's going to air on Fox News Saturday night. Me and the Emster were cruising. And I will tell you, like, it's two things that happen in cabs. Obviously, people drive them for a living, but they were also like a lot of undercover cops used to use them in the city, and we would be really good undercover cops in a cab, just driving around, like taking it in.
An undercover cop would be driving it, or the passengers?
No, they used to use plain clothes cops used to drive cabs back in the day. They did away with that, but it was a good way to get around town and see things going on and stuff like
that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty rad, right?
Hell yeah. I would be the worst undercover cop.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm you know me. I'd be like...
Drunk?
Yes, no, and obvious. I'm drunk, obvious, and not sly. Like, I can't lie. I, like, state what I think at all times. I cause scenes visually.
Imagine.
Yeah.
And, like, this is the thing, though. Okay, when you're just driving around, and this is what I found so fascinating. It's why I want to do more of it. It's like when you're driving around and you're just, like, looking out at society and you're having a conversation. You know, you really are seeing the world from like this really unique angle that gives you like it's like a better vantage point, you know? And that's the thing I miss about driving a cab is like it was the original social media because people would get in and they would just post something on your wall, you know, in person though. It wasn't like, here's my dog's birthday, and then someone replies, Trump's going to jail.
Yeah, it's more like the original bathroom stall where it's like, you know, wait, Brenda was here.
Is that why you wrote for a good time call on the partition? I was like, why is she putting her phone number on the partition? But the phone continues to ring. Business is booming. No, it's really funny. But no, that's my favorite thing about driving a cab is like people would get in and we would like talk face to face. And I think it was better for society.
The other notable thing about that experience with you driving the checker cab is that it's a force for good and it's like a source of joy for everyone on the street. So everything you said is true. And also, you are in a vessel that everyone is waving at. Mm-hmm. And that everyone is smiling at. Even a bicyclist gave us a fist pump, which yeah. never happens. Like, if we were having the same conversation in your Bronco, we wouldn't be getting the same, like, we wouldn't be Santas of cheer. But in the checker cap, we're Santas of cheer because everyone is like, oh, you know, they're like pointing. Yeah. Like, it's awesome, man. It's especially rare here because when I drive my car outside, people wave and it's awesome.
So you're saying the judge is going to overlook the vehicular homicide? Here's to hoping. Emmy the best. This time she's out for real because the hour's over. I actually have to go.
Am I?
The great Emily. She'll be here when we come back. I don't know if I will.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it is. And here we go. Big hour coming up with your radio buddy Jimmy Failla. Going to be rapping with Jamie Lissau, regular on the Gutfeld program. Fun comic. And he's going to weigh in on a bit of insanity surrounding a potential vice presidential nominee by the name of Kristi Noem that might have just landed herself in a precarious position for a story in her autobiography about killing her dog.
What the hell were you thinking?
We don't know. We'll ask Lissau. He might. 888-788-9910. We will also take your calls, text, tweets, and carrier pigeons. At the end of the day today, I will reveal a piece of information regarding the Trump trial that was just fed to me by Emily Campagna. We did three segments on the show earlier. We never got to the bottom of this legal nugget. And, you know, I know a lot of you listening.
You're an idiot.
No. Okay. Basically, the judge found that Trump violated his gag order 9 different times. But according to the reporting we got out of the trial, the judge does not want to fine Trump hundreds of thousands of dollars. He would prefer to just flat out imprison him.
So I guess we have some issues.
I mean, would be an issue if it comes to that. Now, we don't know if Trump's going to do a better job of adhering to the gag order. To be clear, the idea of a gag order is a little ridiculous because everybody associated with the case is all over the media talking about it. They're on TV every night. So it does seem like a bit of a double standard. But all we're trying to do is be a port in the storm one way or the other. I mean, the world is literally on fire, okay? We're trying to be that place you go to roast marshmallows so you don't take the stick and point somebody in the eye with it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the problem.
Never hit anyone in anger unless you're absolutely sure you can get away with it.
Fair point. But 888-788-9910. Let me get you up to speed on the Kristi Noem thing, okay? This story kind of broke last week. Okay, she said she had a dog that was out of control. It was a 14-month-old dog. She has an upcoming new book. It's called No Going Back. And she explains how she shot the dog named Cricket, who she described as less than worthless due to Cricket's aggressive behavior. Now, I can just promise you this. Nowhere in the world is there a person in the public square who'd be better off if only they admitted to shooting a couple of dogs. Okay, I'm just telling you because I care.
He knows what he's talking about.
Okay, now there are some on the left that are saying this was an attempt to appeal to Trump. Look, I just killed a dog. Trump likes people who shoot dogs. I mean, come on.
This is totally false.
It's absurd. Okay, but the point she's trying to make in the book is it wasn't an easy decision, but the easy way isn't often the right way. So yes, she's writing this book as a way of taking hard-line positions and showing that she's a true leader and she'd be the perfect person to sit on Trump's ticket.
Wrong.
Well, a lot of people think otherwise. That is certainly being recalibrated as we speak for Governor Noem. But at the end of the day, and, you know, I don't know that any of you are running for VP or writing a book anytime soon. I'm just telling you because I care. When you go on Instagram, the amount of likes a dog or a cat gets versus an actual human is like 10 to 1. And it's the one area where I can tell you that social media is a good guide. People like pets more than they like other people. Straight up. Straight up. Okay, they do. Pets are always going to resonate a lot more, okay, with people than other people are. okay? When I talked about my cat Daisy dying, she was 19. There were so many people that were like crushed in my feet. And obviously, we're not happy to lose Daisy. She's just such a good cat. But we were also like giving the cat a shout out, like on my Saturday night show. It was like a celebration of Daisy. It wasn't like, let's ruin the show. We told jokes, not about Daisy, but about the world as a whole. But there were people who literally responded like, I can't imagine how you'd be laughing, your cat. And I'm like, but the whole point of being alive is to have fun. So even if the bad stuff happens, you know, the goal should still be have fun, you know, find a way forward, find a way to keep on living. But when it comes to animals, if you're flat out, you know, putting your cat down because she's sick and she's old and, you know, people understand that's, you know, part of the gig. Okay. But when it comes to just shooting a 14-year-old dog, I don't know that it should have made the book. Here is Britt Hume saying as much on Special Report, clip 26.
Not a lot of people I know of have gone out and executed their own dog. And I think a great many people in America look at that and think it's telling. I think it's damaging, Brett. I really do. Cruelty to animals or shooting your dog strikes people as not normal behavior by, they will probably imagine, a not normal person.
But the fact that she wanted to say that is also telling.
Peculiar. I mean, if I were a political advisor to her, and I'm not, that's not my department, but had I been asked for an opinion about it, I'd say, don't put that in your book.
Listen.
I mean, tell them like it is.
It did. I don't know. It didn't need to be in the book. I mean, here's Jim Acosta. I don't play a lot of Jim Acosta on this show.
There's a slob. There's a real slob.
Okay, Jim Acosta's with Alice Stewart and Maria Cardona. And talking about how she was trying to project strength. I do agree that that's what she was doing. What the problem with what Kirstie Nome did, and I do mean this, and this is where Twitter is crushing the Republican Party, is everybody on Twitter, there's a lot of super nerds on Twitter that are right-wing influencers that tweet a lot of alpha zero-sum things all day. That was me. I would have kicked everybody's ass.
Wrong.
You know? Okay, and that sentiment, which gets overwhelming support on Twitter, is not reflective of how people feel in the real world. Okay, I'm glad Elon Musk bought Twitter and restored our speech rights, but it's been really misleading as a compass for the Republican Party. If you were on Twitter, you would have believed there was going to be a red wave in the midterms. There was not, but the media was predicting it. Every analyst was predicting it. Why? Because in the prisoner of the moment mentality people exist in on Twitter, you're like, well, everything in my feed says the Republicans are going to win every seat. It's going to be a red wave.
Not even close.
Okay, DeSantis launched his campaign for president at a time when he was polling higher than Trump or neck and neck with Trump. He launched his campaign on Twitter. The platform crashed. And more people were unable to watch his launch than were able to.
That was embarrassing.
But even worse is he prioritized out of the gate all the culture war issues that were trending on Twitter. Okay, and for that reason, he consistently went down in the polls. And what looked like post-midterm, a lane for another Republican to emerge and challenge Trump, quickly turned into Trump king of the mountaining the place in about a half hour. He was done with DeSantis.
Go home to mommy. Go home. Bye. Go home to mommy. Go home to mommy.
And that's what went on. Okay. And he cleared the field pretty quick. Okay. They've since made amends. And it sounds like DeSantis might even try to help fundraise for Trump. I don't know if that means he's a VP finalist. What with Kirstie Nome probably bowing out. But I do agree with this Jim Acosta analysis that she was trying to look tough. Twitter supports a lot of tough guys. There's a lot of nerds that are big-time conservative influencers that get huge retweets, huge followerships, okay? And they really do cater to this tough guy anger element. It's a lot of what's in my Twitter feed right now. I tweeted a picture of me and KJP from the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and she was cool. She was really cool. Again, I wouldn't hire her to do PR for my son's lemonade stand, but I thought she was cool, thought she was nice, and I'm always going to be the guy who plays nice in the sandbox because, hey, man, I got a radio show and a TV show. I got to use it to do something. Yeah, you want to make people laugh, but you also want it to be a source of good. I don't want to be a source of division. But there's a lot of people on Twitter that are apoplectic because they're like, I can't believe you're with the enemy. I'm like, dude, if you see your fellow American teammates as your enemy, I promise you we're doing it wrong. Okay, if you see other members as your enemy, we're doing it wrong. We're supposed to root for our country a lot harder than we're supposed to root for our party. And can anybody point to anything the Republican Party is doing that should, you know, entitle them to my undying support and refusal to not acknowledge the good intentions of the other side of the aisle? Somebody wants to have a beer with me? I want to have a beer with them. Okay. I don't want to sit there and fight with them. I don't want to throw a beer in their face. But on Twitter, that's the mentality. Twitter is a pretend world where you're someday going to live in an America where the other side of the aisle's views are not going to exist and they're not going to be tolerated. That's what the angry right-wing Twitter machine is doing. It's being the angry left-wing Twitter machine we all detested. How dare you acknowledge the existence of those people? They're less than human. And that's the reaction you get when you are a distillery for hate and bile and everything in between. But she was catering to that. She knew by saying, I'll shoot my dog. Everyone on the left would be like, cancel her. She's the devil. And she thought everybody on the right would be like, yeah, shooting dogs is good. Okay, except in the real world, people were apoplectic because you shouldn't be shooting dogs. Here is Acosta. I agree with most of this analysis, clip 29.
Whether or not this it has an impact on if she's a VP candidate or whatnot in the future, I just can't imagine her thinking about killing her dog, doing it, writing about it in a book, and then doubling and tripling down that this was the right thing to do. It just doesn't make sense.
As she's being considered for vice president, it feels intentional. Like, okay, look what I could do. I can kill a puppy.
Exactly. And I think, sadly, that's probably what she and maybe many others believe is what Donald Trump is looking for. The kind of strength, the kind of lack of empathy. And sadly, you know, maybe Trump does like this. I mean, I hope not. Yeah, but
something strong about killing a puppy.
I mean, dude.
That was absolutely dreadful.
I agree with the Acosta analysis that she is trying to project strength. But where they try to say, okay, because this is honestly what's going on. She's trying to project the kind of strength that'll make her popular on Twitter. Because the popularity on Twitter may ultimately appeal to Trump. So in that regard, I don't believe Acosta's wrong. But when you hear the other analysis go, Trump, you know, he lacks empathy. That's what he wants. Guys, Trump's the guy who flew into New York just to go to the cop's funeral. Trump's the guy that goes up to the bodega just to see the aggrieved business owner. Trump's the guy who has the unique connection to the people who are suffering. When there was a disaster during the Trump administration, a natural, you know, disaster act of God, okay, Trump was the guy who showed up to the scene. And then people yelled because he was throwing paper towels to people. They're like, he's throwing it like a football. That's not cool. Just playing football. When the people are out there suffering,
why do you do things like that? You're like a crazy person.
Okay, and they focused on that instead of the fact that he actually showed up, was demonstrating empathy and helping people. Whereas you get a disaster like East Palestine, okay, the Biden White House looks at it and goes, who'd they vote for, Republican? All right, yeah, we're not going. And they didn't go. They didn't go until it became a political liability a year and a half later. They showed up and were like, we cared the whole time.
You are so full of shit.
Okay, but when people try to brand Trump as lacking empathy, I think that might be his one true superpower. Yes, he's probably the most self-absorbed human being who's ever lived. But at the same time, he does have an affinity for helping little people. And as a former New York City cab driver, I can tell you there are thousands of stories in garages of him taking taxis and giving people staggering sums of money and wishing them luck and being supportive. And that's also something you'll hear a lot about people who work at his resorts. He has always been good to the little people. So he is not looking for folks who demonstrate a lack of empathy. Okay. He might have liked Kristi Noem because she had a lot of Twitter heat. But I got news for you. You know, Twitter heat's kind of fool's gold. Okay. DeSantis was the most popping candidate on Twitter when he launched his campaign. There was nobody bigger. Okay. He had Christina Pushaw, who's his comms director, tweeting snarky things day in and day out, clapping back, totally destroying, own the libs. And then he launched the campaign and it doesn't mean he won't have a political future. Okay, but you can't look at Twitter as your compass for the way forward. Why? Because it's not the real world. 80% on the content on Twitter is generated by 10% of the users. Okay, when you align that with the real population of this country, you understand the views that are shaping the Twitter narratives are distilled by less than 1% of the population. In a general election, you're hoping to get about 51% of the population to vote for you. So if you're actually aligning your worldview with what's trendy on Twitter, congratulations, you've just alienated about 99.9% of the actual country.
Correctamundo.
So what I think she was going for was that. I'm a Twitter tough guy. Hear me roar. But I think what she achieved was the complete opposite. We'll discuss it. Jamie Lissau's coming in. We'll get more hate mail off my Twitter feed. What a fun Tuesday. Don't go anywhere. We're going to keep on battling it out.
I'll break you in half like a little toothpick.
The show that sees through the bullshit.
My response is right, you know, and the stripper really likes you.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, it is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We're going to talk to Jimmy Lissau in the next break. Right now, we're trying to set the country straight. Everybody's a mess right now. Such a fat, screaming children. Earlier, we brought up my Twitter feed. People were mad at me on Twitter because I posted a video with KJP. I think Michael's on my side. We'll see. Michael!
Mr. Variety, I hope I see you soon so you can autograph my copy.
Stop it.
I'm really proud of you, buddy.
Stop it. What a yin and a yang day. So the world's like, holy God, I got to check out this Jimmy Failla guy. And the Twitter people are like, you rhino traitor sellouts! Unbelievable.
Hey, look, buddy, just like their left-leaning trolls have been forever, there have been right-leaning trolls. And I guarantee anybody bashing you on Twitter is not listening to you, not watching your show.
Kidding.
They don't get it. So don't pay any attention to those people. They're idiots.
I'm laughing. Thank you for that. I know I'm with you. I'm laughing because it is like a teachable moment. Like, do you remember when Sarah Huckabee Sanders was the press secretary and they chased her out of a restaurant? And everybody on the right was like, wow, the liberals won't even let these people exist. Okay. Now they're asking me to do the same thing. You know what I'm saying? They're like, oh, you saw KJP? You should have attacked her. I'm like, didn't we just bitch for the last 5 years that that's what they were doing to us? It's not a fight fire with fire. I'm a comedian. I don't care.
That's right. I'm sure she is a lovely young lady, but I don't agree with anything she says. But I bet she's a great hang, just like Jessica. Like the guy that tries to pick up your wife, Kevin.
Yep.
Oh, they're all great people. Come on.
Just trying to have
a nice
time.
We're all in this just to have some fun, like you say.
Yeah, Twitter isn't for the fun. Twitter is for people who can't do something with their anger. So they get on the phone and they're like, take this. And, you know, it's fun. It's all good. But you get it, Michael. We need to clone you.
No, don't do that.
No, it's not good.
But you are on the right track, buddy, so keep it up, despite what all those trolls might be saying.
I'll handle those punks. Good stuff, Michael. We'll do it again soon. Thanks, brother. The great Michael. No, he's not wrong. But if you don't follow me on Twitter, go to my Twitter feed and read this. I'll have to respond to it later. But it's so funny. Like, you rhino, you traitor! Guys, if you're listening to this show, you've somehow been listening to the show for the past 4 years, and you thought, like, I'm on, like, a side in a battle, like, I promise you, you didn't understand this show. Like, you didn't understand me. Like, we didn't have what you think we had together as a team. Because I'm not here to be on a side. Like, my side is America. I want the country to do well. It doesn't do well under the old, I'm only going to talk to Republicans. You know what else doesn't do well? Your family, your social life. Okay, this is supposed to be about coexistence. We have a country that was built not on agreement. The country was built on a fiery disagreement. And we drew up a constitution in a way that would ensure checks and balances so one side didn't trample the other. The idea that we should be living in a fantasy world where we just ostracize anybody who disagrees with us is so counterproductive to, like, the greater good thing I'm trying to be. And, you know, I'm not, you know, in any way influenced or impacted in terms of my belief in my worldview because it's working. I got from driving a taxi to hosting a show on the biggest news channel in the world. I just left the White House. I'm not going to take advice from people who don't have a profile picture on Twitter. Shut up. There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. And if the band sounds fired up, it's because they are. Joining us now in studio, comedy superstar. You can see him on Gutfeld tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern. The king of late night. That would be Greg.
Yep.
But you're somebody. You're somebody of late. You know what I mean? Like in Monty Python and the Holy Grail, You're like the guy. You'd have to be the guy working the catapult for the king or something. What are you?
Sure, like the jester. Or that's
have you
too
guys
much.
Had the what are we talk? Much. You and Greg, Jamie Lissau is here. We're going to try to come to terms on this. But good to see you, man.
He says something like, "You are nothing." I don't know if that's what role that is.
Yo, one thing about doing comedy with Gutfeld that we never discuss enough as comics is whenever he's throwing the ball to you as a comic, he's like, "Well, you suck. What do you think?"
Yes,
you
know? that's absolutely true.
You're fat and ugly. What would you do with the border?
I used to be self-deprecating, but there's nothing left.
Yeah,
after he comes to me.
There's nothing left to deprecate. There's no crumbs for Lissau.
No.
But you're on the show tonight. You're fired up. It's good to have you back on the East Coast.
I'm psyched. I love being on the East Coast. I come here just to do Gutfeld and to see Jimmy Fallon.
No,
that's,
it matters.
That's why I come here.
But let's not forget that you're also Kristi Noem's ghostwriter.
That's right.
Governor of South Dakota.
A lot of people don't know that.
So we were talking about this off the air, and I've kind of been analyzing this off the top of the hour. She was a potential VP nominee. She might still be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In her autobiography, she wrote about the difficult decision she made to shoot a 14-month-old puppy.
Yeah.
I believe, and you can tell me otherwise, but I will allow you to have the floor after this comment. I believe, okay, there is no one in the world who would be better off if only they spent more time bragging about shooting dogs. Like Michael Vick tried this once.
Yes.
Didn't really go the best for him in his NFL career.
Yeah.
What was she thinking? Was she trying to play the tough guy sentiment? Like what was this?
Yes. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, of course.
What to for anybody that didn't hear, why did she say she shot? What was the context?
It was like very aggressive. She couldn't train it. The dog was less than worthless. It had attacked people.
Yeah. I would say when you are, there's no good time to come out and say you're killing a dog. I would say the best way is I think you go to the vet. Do you know what I mean? Like when you take it into your own hand. I will say shooting's better than like strangling. I feel like that would be really bad. But yes, she I feel like she's trying to be that, like we said, she's trying to be that tough guy on Twitter.
Twitter alpha. Because if the Twitter alphas go like, "Noam, she shot a dog," you know.
I shot a dog once, but I also gave him a gun, and we did 10 paces. I feel like that's more fair.
Please don't listen to him, because I will get a Twitter comment on that, too. He shouldn't be arming dogs.
Do you know, I told you off the air, but I said on Guffo once, I said, my girlfriend said, we have to put our dog to sleep. And I go, "Oh, he already sleeps 20 hours a day. What's four more?" Which I thought was kind of funny.
Silly.
Outrage.
Yeah.
Outrage.
No, people need to know this. Everybody listening at home, and I think most of you do. Okay. My grandma Phil used to tell me this, Lissau. She used to say, you know, animals are better than most people.
Yeah.
And most people do feel the way my grandma did. You know,
right.
Like
we don't
animals.
Deserve dogs. Okay. We don't deserve.
Yeah. If you spend 30 seconds on Instagram, you understand that animals have more love in the universe than humans.
Yeah.
Do. It's not even close.
Yep.
There are more viral cats and dogs. There are viral capybaras, like not even pets that have redeeming qualities.
Yeah.
My son wanted a capybara. Do you know what that is? It's the biggest mouse. It's the biggest species of mouse.
Uh-huh.
Picture a 200-pound mouse with a mouse head.
And you have it as a pet?
Yeah, some people do.
Okay.
Lunatics. Because all of those pets that look good on TikTok, what no one ever factors into the analysis, is how it's going to change the dynamic of your house. I'm sure it smells different.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I'm sure the vibe is different. You walk into somebody's house, there's a 200-pound mouse. That doesn't change your relationship a little bit.
That's a terrible pet. And my kids had rats once, and they took it. I think they were called, their names were like Monster and Mouse. I go, just these kids are not that smart. And we took it to the vet, and it was to get it was sick.
Uh-huh.
Something was wrong with its tail. It was $900 for, they said, to amputate this rat's tail. And I was married at the time, and I go, we're going to do the sitcom thing, right? Buy a different rat, call it the same name, pretend we never lost the first rat. And they go, no, we paid $900 to amputate a rat tail.
This is real.
Because people, because they get attached.
Oh my God.
Right?
For a rat.
Did you end up getting the 200-pound rat? Can you really buy those?
They are approved for domesticated use. But what we're going through right now is my cat Daisy just chased the big hair tie in the sky after 19 glorious years on the planet.
Oh.
We were looking at wallabies, which are like baby, like low-level kangaroos.
Uh-huh.
But the problem with any one of these exotic animals is at some point it does exotic animal stuff.
Of course.
And now you don't got a face.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like if Kristi Noem would have said, "Hey, I got a wallaby.
Yeah.
One day it tried to kill my whole family and I shot it." Winning chapter in the book.
I remember when you first came over here, you go, "I like doing the radio and the TV, but I really want to own an exotic zoo." And so this is good that you're finally kind of coming through with that stuff.
I'm coming to grips with this.
I would definitely get, if you get a wallaby, tiny pair of boxing gloves.
Have you ever seen, and if you haven't, I apologize because I failed you as a friend. Okay. Everyone listening, if you haven't seen this, this used to be one of Lincoln's go-tos when people would come over our house. The Brenberg kids saw it once. They were aghast, but in a good way. They have, it's called orangutan boxing, and it's over at like a Chinese zoo, and they have actually trained these animals to put on boxing gloves. Now, they even have a ring girl who walks around with a ring card between rounds, and it's a choreographed routine where they fake box. One guy pulls the other guy's shorts down. There's a knockout. Orangutan paramedics come in and carry the guy out in a stretcher.
These are all actual orangutans? Yes. Are there any humans?
Yeah, no. These are straight orangutans. Okay. There were no humans involved. They've probably been drugged and beaten to learn this routine, and I'm not happy about it. But if you're just showing that to like a five-year-old, orangutan boxing is as good as life is ever going to get. Do you remember the old David Brenner joke? David Brenner had a joke where he goes, he's like, yeah, I'm at that age where I don't feel like lying to my kids anymore. He's like, we went to the circus, and they were like, Dad, how do they get the bears to ride the tricycles? He goes, that's pretty easy. They nail their feet to the pedals and beat the shit out of them. That's, I mean, probably how it happened, right?
It probably is. I heard a lady say once, this is 100% not a joke. Mm-hmm. I heard they were talking about cruelty to animals in the circus, and there was like this seal. And she goes, I don't know if people aren't paying attention, but I don't believe this is cruelty. I don't know if you noticed, but at the end of the routine, the seal was clapping. He was, it's a true, this is 100% true.
Guy jumped through a hoop. Yeah, I mean, this guy was in a good mood.
If you don't clap, they hit you in the head with a hammer. That's why she thought he was psyched.
The song is, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Yeah,
I'm with the seal on this one. Unbelievable. Jamie Lissau's in studio. We're excited about it. All right, give me some life advice.
Life advice?
I'm down in D.C. this weekend.
Okay.
We go to the White House. Pretty cool. We go host my show from the Correspondents' Dinner. Pretty cool. This morning when I'm doing my photo dump, I drop a video on Twitter of me and KJP, Karine Jean-Pierre.
Uh-huh.
I saw her at a party Friday night. She was very polite. She's like, congrats on the show. That must be really cool. And like, we talked for a little bit. And I posted a video of that. I put it on Twitter. Twitter had a slightly different opinion.
Yeah.
Than I did.
Well, were people happy.
Like, you rhino, you betrayed us. I can't believe. And I just want to say this to people. As a comic, you might feel the same way. We're actually like on the side of fun. I don't believe we're here to steer elections. And I feel like the country is screwed beyond all believable bounds if we're supposed to be here.
100%.
And it's funny because Seinfeld, of all people, kind of waited on this week.
Wild, yeah.
About movies. And it was interesting to hear. He said far left. I'm surprised he put a name on it.
Yeah.
That is kind of taking a political side, and he doesn't want to. That's not who he is.
Yeah.
He wants to be Seinfeld. He wants you to turn on the TV and laugh. That's the gig. You know?
Yes.
Once we've become activists, it's like we've lost what we were supposed to be doing, you know?
I couldn't agree more with anything you said. I feel like especially when I'm on Gutfeld sometimes I'm on with like incredibly smart, insightful people with years of experience, some of them working for Trump. I am here to maybe get a laugh or something.
That's it.
That's the priority number one. And if you, especially when you're thinking about, even with comedy, you have to think like if I'm at a comedy show, I would say a lot of people are probably Gutfeld fans.
Yeah.
And so either I'm in this like fun echo chamber where I'm going, hey, we're going to do what we said we were going to do, right?
Or
I'm going to ruin someone's night that I'm not going to change their mind anyway. So why don't we go, hey, you got a babysitter. Let's see if we can all have some fun.
Yeah, imagine that. Do you remember that? And that's the point. I think comics, you know, I say this all the time. We're not the Republican Party, the Democratic Party. We're the keg party. That's who we're supposed to be.
That's right.
And we're in the chill the F out business. That's what we say. And I think for a lot of Twitter, what people don't realize is if you hate something long enough, you become it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is Twitter was apoplectic about 5 years ago because Sarah Huckabee Sanders went out for dinner and people on the left chased her out of the restaurant. Or like Supreme Court justices showed up, people chased them out of the restaurant. And they were like, you know, how dare you treat us like that? We're human beings too.
Right.
But there are people in my Twitter feed being like, you should have thrown a drink at her face.
Right.
I'm like, I got to be honest, that's kind of beyond Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yeah.
And I just find it funny because the thing is, for us to succeed at what we do, we can't be like what Twitter wants us to be because then we're not shooting at half the targets. That's why Colbert sucks. People got to look at jokes like we're writing songs, okay?
Yep.
If you go sit down and go, all right, we're not going to play half the notes on the musical scale. Okay, now listen, it worked out for Blink-182. I'm not going to say it did it. But the average band needs the other 50% of the notes.
You are so right. And poor Colbert and like the that would be like not being able to make fun of Biden
yeah.
or Kamala would be like playing darts and only being allowed to hit the double bullseye or the triple 20.
Yeah,
you're not even allowed to hit all the good stuff.
You can't even hit the fun stuff. But that's the part that's like really failing the country. Do you have headphones? Throw your headphones on. I'm going to show you something. This will blow your mind. We do a lot of permanent audio on the show. My apologies if it's out of the way. This is the OG talking. It's not on yet, so don't worry. But here we go. Tell me.
Do you get sensitive about the fact that people say he'll never take a serious controversy? Well, I have an answer to that. I said, now, tell me the last time that Jack Benny, Red Skelton, any comedian, used his show to do serious issues. That's not what I'm there for. Can't they see that? But you're not. Why do they think that just because you have a Tonight Show that you must deal in serious issues? That's a danger. It's a real danger. Once you start that, you start to get that self-important feeling that what you say has great import. And you know, strangely enough, you could use that show as a forum. You could sway people. And I don't think you should as an entertainer.
See that? That's Carson.
That's beautiful.
And yeah, I mean, honestly, like someone should play that for Kimmel or Colbert or one of those guys. Because they really, in a roundabout way, are like ruining the thing that makes what we do awesome. It's like the reason we wanted to do it is because you could do it for everybody. Like people wanted to laugh. People wanted to be you at a party. I mean, imagine if you were like a hot girl, like you're a supermodel hot girl. That is a superpower.
Yeah.
But you're now going to walk down the street and automatically only be attractive to half the people.
Right.
Why would you give that away? I mean,
why?
Don't you want to be catcalled by everyone?
Of course.
As really someone who's never been catcalled, I wouldn't want to limit the audience of potential catcallers.
Do you think anyone's ever catcalled? And the girl's like, yeah, okay.
You know what's funny?
Do you think anyone, you know what I mean? Like whenever I see, my girlfriend's a doctor and she gets hit on all the time. And she goes, this guy comes in, he goes, I said to her the other day, I go, have you ever had a guy come in and he goes for like erectile dysfunction? And then you walk in, he goes, it's fixed. That's weird. Because she's pretty. But I go, has a cat calling, has someone ever been like, yeah, look at you? And they turn around and they go, oh, hey. Ever once? Or is it more like just a way to emote with the guys?
In all honesty, further uptown, probably. Further uptown, probably. Yeah. Midtown construction site, no.
Right.
Okay, but further uptown, guys who have game. It's a numbers game. Every once in a while, they stop and they can spit game. I mean, they're called pimps.
Yeah.
So has it worked for the woman in the long run? No.
That's amazing.
Has it worked for society? No, no. But you're right. It's like 99.9% of catcalls, of course. It's absurd. It's but what you just said. It's an outlet.
Your point. Well, take it. Like, Carson was so funny. And I find myself, I have a very, very good friend. I don't want to throw his name out there, but I think you would know him, too, because he used to be on Greg's show sometimes, that writes for one of those shows, and he's one of the funniest guys I've ever met, and he has incredible jokes. And you could say, like, hey, does Kimmel have good jokes? I don't know. I'm not watching that program.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch it because some of it's so infuriating that maybe there is a good joke in there now and then. I won't see it because I don't want to watch.
But that's the part that sucks is, like, he is actually capable.
Right.
You know, Kimmel, I've seen him do funny things on the show. Like, these are capable people.
Right.
But the fact that they've repurposed comedy as like an instrument in a battle.
Yes.
Is like, I don't ever want to do that. Like,
and I don't know if it works because I don't know if anyone's tuning in that you're going to change their mind anyway.
No,
so
no.
I even question the efficiency of trying to get people over to your side.
Of course, because the jump off point is that you're already giving people who are potential comedy consumers a reason to change the channel.
Yeah.
That, like, which is insanity. And the people who are only tuning in for agreement aren't necessarily getting the true worth of your comedy anyway.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So it's like, yeah, we're going to make jokes that would be considered red meat that you agree with, but we want them to work because they're funny.
Yeah.
You dig? See, where Colbert is getting laughter is in agreement. He's not getting laughter.
He's getting
humor.
Clapter.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Cheering and clapping.
Oh, it's terrible.
It is.
Me and Lissau are trying to clean these streets up. You know, in taxi driver, they're like, one day a real rain's going to come wash all the filth off these streets. We're going to do that. We're going to Travis Bickle the remainder of the show after this.
You're listening to the best dad on the radio.
Can't believe you forgot my birthday.
You're with Jimmy Fallon on Fox Across America.
You got to watch Jamie Lissau on Gutfeld tonight. He'll be there. He's here. He's making the rounds. He's pressing the flesh. Remember when celebrities Lissau, they'd make the media rounds. Like, I have a new thing coming out, and I'm going to do all the shows to remind people. That's what you're doing.
That's right. I remember not knowing as a kid that that's what they were doing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, he just went on there to have fun.
You know what got me that you say that? So I've been watching old Carson, and I've been watching like old Lettermans. I didn't realize as a kid that the comics were just doing their acts. It was Comics Unleashed.
Right.
So they would have like Letterman would come on Carson and he'd be like, so you went to the gym, huh?
Yeah.
He'd just do like 9 minutes on the gym.
You mean like in panel?
Yeah, yeah.
Like when he would lead him into it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I'd be watching at home like, wow, this guy just riffed 9 minutes on the gym. It was incredible. Who is this guy?
I saw Comics Unleashed once, which if anybody missed it, was the epitome of it. Not even like you go to the gym. It would be like, you and clowns, what do you think? Like, it was very specific. Like, it was clearly set up. And I saw it once where a guy, because it was so set up, I saw this comedian, you know, went on, and, you know, Byron Allen was hosting. And he goes, hey, so you have a girlfriend who's in the circus. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Every premise... He pretended like it was the craziest thing he'd ever heard. He fed him fake premises.
And was never booked again.
He was never booked again.
Well, you know what? We used to make fun of Byron Allen for that. I believe he's worth like $1 trillion.
Yeah, he won.
Yeah.
He won the whole thing.
Do you remember
the
beginning of comedy? Because we're doing well now. You're on Gutfeld tonight. It's King of Late Night. It's a big deal. But you remember the beginning of comedy where you're surrounded by people, including yourself even, who might be talking about the opportunities you'd turned down that you were never given? Like, that's the greatest thing about comedy. The amount of people who have said to me, like, in the last 5 years, like, I can't believe you work at Fox News, who have also said, hey, man, can you get me on this show? Can you get me on that show?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody likes to take a moral stand till they're actually asked to take one, and then it's a different animal.
I like to go, people go, like, man, you're on Gutfeld. You don't care about being canceled on stuff. And I'm like, yeah, man, I don't care. Even they don't know I didn't have anything. There
that's
was nothing
my favorite.
To be. Yeah, I go, yeah, we stayed united.
When you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose. Isn't that what Bob Dylan once sang? Jamie Lissau, the Rolling Stone of stand-up comedy.
I remember one time I was with this gigantic manager, right? Mm-hmm. And I was the least performing of all of his clients. It was me and like Kevin Hart and somebody else, I can't remember, someone that's on SNL now. Mm-hmm. And we all came out of this Montreux Comedy Festival, right? Yeah. And everyone else is a gigantic star except for me, right? I'm just like guy that took a minute. And not that I'm like a giant, but it took me a minute to like get a little foothold. And I remember this one time I called once and they just were like, yeah, we don't do anything for you. We don't want you anymore. And they sort of like fired me.
Uh-huh.
And the same week, Kevin Hart and one of the other big guys quit.
Oh no.
And I was like, yeah, we're out of here. Like I just pretended like I was also part of the group that left.
I'll show you. Jamie Lissau took his bowl and went home, but his bowl will be on Gutfeld tonight. That matters. We are 30 seconds until this show ends. Don't you feel? I feel we just did 30 minutes of radio. I feel like you did 4 minutes with
it. It just flies by.
But was it weird, right?
Can I say something weird? I love doing your show because it warms me up, forgets me in the funny. It really helps.
It's like a sparring match.
It's great.
No, look at me. Jimmy Failla, comedy sparring partner. Add that to my list of titles. I'm also a fluffer. I do it all. The show's over. Pay up. Get out. Go read Variety, you guys. You're responsible for the whole thing. Good night.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown. Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.